Reading today from, we're going to go to the gospel lesson due to the time factor and ask that you read the New Testament Romans passage at home. Matthew chapter 13 is where the lectionary takes us. Matthew chapter 13. This is a parable of the sower that Jesus preached while he was in a boat. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ear, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is a seed sown along the path. The one who had received the word that fell in rocky places is a man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he only lasts a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is a man who hears a word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears a word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. I invite you to turn back in your Bibles to Matthew 13. And there's an outline with your bulletin if you want to keep track of where the sermon's going. And if you feel ambitious, you can even do a little bit of fill in the blank. And we have as the title today, Understanding God's Working. Understand God's Working and Identify Yourself in the Parable of the Sower. Now let's pray. Merciful God, impress upon our hearts this sermon of Jesus that he preached from the fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. Father, you hide spiritual truths from the wise and learned, but you reveal them to little children. And so grant us a childlike faith that we can learn the mysteries of your kingdom. Change us by your word and spirit to be more like our Lord. Amen. When I was a kid, a long, long time ago, we had in the first school I attended, we had a school paper. And there would be interviews of the high school seniors that I very much looked up to and I liked to read about their lives. And one of the standard questions of the interview was, name one of your pet peeves. And we didn't have a dictionary at our house. And so I remember asking my mother, it was a strange word, never heard of it before, what was a pet peeve? And A pet peeve is something that really annoys you. And as I was thinking about this text, I was thinking about one of my pet peeves as a preacher. When someone is frustrated, often with a child, an adult child, adult son or daughter, or perhaps a relative or a neighbor that they very much appreciate, and they see they're going the wrong direction, and they come to me and they say, "Why don't you talk some sense into them?" I find that highly annoying, so please don't talk to me that way. One of the people that used to is since gone on, so I don't hear it quite as much anymore. But you think about how God works with us. You think about how God worked with Cain, you know, the Cain that killed his brother. And God came to Cain and he said, "Cain, you know, you're angry. I can, you know, see you're angry, and sin is crouching at your door, wants to take you down, and you have to master. You can't let this anger get carried away." And Cain killed his brother. Think about Jesus last Sunday, as he said, "John the Baptist, greatest preacher before me, came, and you didn't respond to his ministry. And he was one who preached from the desert in a spirit and power of Elijah. And he wasn't part of society. I came, I was part of society, and had a whole different approach, and you didn't accept that either." And he calls down curses on the three towns where he did his ministry because of the miracles that he performed, and they would not repent, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And he said, if the miracles would have been done in Sodom, as in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. But the people of Capernaum didn't repent. And so we have, as an explanation of how the gospel works, chapter 13, seven parables about the kingdom of God that we need to understand. And the first one is the parable of the sower that explains different responses to the preaching of the gospel. And so we have this picture of the farmer going out to sow his seed, and he's not doing it like in the modern day, but as people did for thousands of years. Maybe you've done, and you had to fill in some spots on your lawn. You reach into the bag, and you grab some seed of grain, and you throw it out, and you kind of broadcast it so that it's evenly scattered on the ground. And this was the ancient way of planting a field. So what's the farmer's doing? He's planting, he's sowing his seed. And Mark's account of this, and we have three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, called synoptics, which often cover the same story. And it would be like if we took three people here and said, "What happened today in this sanctuary?" You would have overlapping descriptions, and you'd have other things that would help fill in that wouldn't be what the other person wrote. And this is what we have in the Gospels. Mark said that the seed is the word. And Luke chapter 8 tells us that the seed is the word of God. So Jesus clearly identifies it. And you think about the seed and the possibilities with seed as you plant seed and the potential for the gospel to have amazing results as a seed is planted into the hearts of people. And you think about the farmers here today. Here you are in church and stuff is happening at your farm that you don't even perceive. You know, the crops are growing out there and that seed is working. And here you are. And it's kind of like what Martin Luther said as he talked about the success of the Reformation. And he said, I simply taught and preached and wrote God's word. He said, otherwise I did nothing. He said, while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends, the word went on and did the work. And he said, if I would have, taken some human approach to it, and he said, nothing would have happened. But he said, when we spread the word, that's what distresses the devil and the captive's hearts. And so that is a very high view of the word of God. That's my understanding of the Word of God, and so the gospel is thrown out, and it can have amazing effects, and sometimes these effects come at some lapse of time as well. And so we have in Matthew's gospel in verse 18, as he refers to the seed, the message, he calls it the message of the kingdom. When anyone who hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. And so when you think about the gospel, it is a message of the kingdom. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? You know, the one that came down from heaven for our salvation. And he went to the cross and he put the King of the Jews, they crucified him for that. He's going to come back as the King of Kings. Today we prayed, your kingdom come. You know, the rule of Christ in our hearts, but even more, someday this world totally changed. Our bodies changed, sin removed. All this is part of the gospel and the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is what Christians long for, and they work for, and they pray for. And so the kingdom begins with planting the seed, preaching and teaching and witnessing. And so in Matthew 13, we have the parable of the sower. And the sower is, at that moment, is Christ. He's in the boat preaching, he's throwing the seed. But it's also the followers, like us today, who teach God's word, sowing the seed, whatever capacity. Those who share God's word, if you ever do that with your friends. And it might seem like, well, nothing happened, but maybe something will happen later, like a seed. And so the sower does his work looking for a great harvest, way more than he planted, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times more. And the parable is for encouragement for all who are sowing for Christ. You don't know what's going to happen. And so when Jesus told his parable the first time, the disciples caught up with him later in private, and they said, Why do you do this? Why do you talk to people in parables? And obviously one reason, and we don't even have to have Jesus talk about it here, is to really help us understand how the gospel works. But there's a side to it that we wouldn't expect. He says that the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And so God's people have a privilege of knowing the secrets. And actually in the Greek it's called the mysteries. The mystery of the kingdom. And in the Bible, the word mystery doesn't mean like, you know, I'll never understand women, you know, that's not the way it's used. Mystery means something you wouldn't have known until the Bible, the Lord Jesus himself, or through his apostles speaking in the Bible, teach us. Like Paul, listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In other words, we'll not all die, but when Christ comes, we're all going to be changed. Now, we would not have known that unless God revealed it. But it's like a secret, okay? We wouldn't have known, but God tells us a secret. So sometimes when I have our grandchildren from our oldest son with us, and we've been swimming down by the park area, and they're all full of sand, and they come up, and they ride in the back of the pickup back, you know, a couple blocks, and it's like, I always tell them, now don't tell your mother. And they can't wait to get to the phone to tell their mother. Well, this is what we should be doing too. We should be telling the secrets of the kingdom. And, you know, we live in a different country than Saudi Arabia. If you lived in Saudi Arabia, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing today to gather in public worship. We wouldn't be able to have Christmas or Easter in the manner in which we no, and maybe some of the ladies here wouldn't be able to drive. But we don't live in that country. and we're part of the kingdom of God. And so we have a set of laws and understandings and the way our society should work. And so Jesus here tells us that we need to understand this parable in Mark chapter 4, where Mark will give us some other additional information on this. Jesus said, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" In other words, if you don't get this one, you're not going to get any of them. So mystery is revealed. He's going to tell them what it means. But by contrast, the parable of Jesus keeps the secrets hidden, the mysteries hidden for unbelievers. And it's a prophecy of Isaiah coming to pass. You can hear it, but you don't understand it. You never understand it. And the reason, because the heart's calloused, the ears are closed, the eyes are closed. And that's why people don't get it. And so Jesus said, "You're blessed because you have ears to hear, because you have eyes to see, because you get it, because you understand the gospel." And so in the third part here, the parable of the soil is explained by Christ and is for examination of our heart's reception of the gospel. So we have said the seed is the gospel, right? It's thrown out. And the soil is the human heart. And there are three types of soil to describe non-Christians. And we don't, in a sense, know who the non-Christians are, in a sense that we don't look at a person's heart. So if someone comes to church and they want to become a member and they profess Christ, I don't look at their heart. The session doesn't look at their heart. Only God looks at the heart. And what we see is the evidence later on, the fruit that comes from the life. But God looks at the heart. And not everyone who makes profession of faith stays with it. Some fall away. In every church there is, they fall away. And why does this happen? Well, Jesus gives the explanation. Some seed falls on hard ground. And it's like a path, you know, where people walk all the time. And as you've noticed, grass doesn't grow too well there, nor grain. And so the picture of the seed falling on the hard path, and the birds come and eat it up. And Jesus tells us what that means. Now, the hard soil in our culture, it's very easy to have a hard heart. It's just listening to all the different messages around us. If that's, you know, how we're going to be thinking is what the culture's thinking today, we're going to have a hard heart. But God has a way of dealing with people so that they're humbled and they have a contrite heart. Charles Spurgeon, in his autobiography, described how God worked over his hard heart, and he talks about the Ten Commandments as 10 black horses. And in those days, of course, people farmed with horses. And he said that God took 10 black horses that came and plowed his soul. Well, the Ten Commandments, in other words, convicted him. The Holy Spirit, taking those commandments, convicted him of sin, showed him his sin, showed him his need for Christ. And so there's no understanding if there's a hard heart. And we see this message of the kingdom, you know, being shut down because people don't want a king. They don't want Jesus as their king. Well, it's due to sinful rebellion against God's commandment, Psalm 2, where people stand against the Lord's anointed. And they said, "We're going to throw off his commandments. They're like shackles. We feel like prisoners." Very much the attitude of much of the culture today. And the pride where man stands against God. Well, God doesn't work with that. The devil comes in the picturing of the birds that come and eat the seed. Jesus said that the seed sown along the path, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. So our spiritual enemy, the devil, is pictured as, you know, what the birds do. He snatches it out of the person's heart. So the reality is that the devil opposes the work of preaching and witnessing. But, you know, the seed is cast, and is, you know, there, you want to get all the ground exposed. But the message is not always understood by everybody, of course, because that's, you know, the process here. We have the devil doing that work, keeping people away from the kingdom. So we don't want to have a heart that's hard and standing against God. Is your heart like a rocky soil? Well, here we have a plant that's off to a good start. You know, the ground warms up quickly, good germination, but it's rocky ground and the seed dies. And so it describes an outward profession of faith. But then this person comes to deal with some trials. Now, in the explanation of Jesus here, he says, since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. So the trials come because of the word. In other words, receiving the word. So we have Job, for example, that, you know, he was faithful, and the devil said, well, let's check him out. You know, we'll make him suffer, and he'll turn away. Well, Job didn't. And we think about foreign countries such as China, where from time to time there's persecution, and where it's illegal to be a Christian. Well, if you were in that situation, would you say, well, I'm done with that. I'm just going to live my life, not exposing myself here at all? Would you turn away from the faith because it's, you know, sometime down the future it's going to be just unacceptable to be a Christian because of the word, because Jesus' teaching is so weird in our culture? We have, in a sense, we talked about the devil, and here's the second one of our three enemies, the world, which is the system opposed to God, where an evangelist one time described as a river that flows day and night against the Lord's people. You know, we have just this system that is against the Christian faith relentlessly, 24/7. And are we going to just give up because it's hard? Well, then we'd be like having a heart like rocky soil. And then we have another, which is very descriptive of our time. We have the one who received the word that fell among the thorns. It's a man who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of the wealth, choke it, making it unfruitful. So we have to look at our heart to see if it's a thorn-infested soil, one where the thorns choke out faith. And find this expressed sometimes where people talk about going through a phase. You know, I was part of a church at one time, but then, you know, I don't know, I got involved in this and that. The thorns are the worries of this life. You know, you're not serving God because you're worried about stuff. The deceitfulness of wealth, in other words, if you think wealth's going to save you from, you know, God's judgment, if you think that wealth is going to help you in the next life, you're going to be very much let down. But people get caught up today. They're you know, pushing hard, and that's part of, I think, where we live, is that people push themselves pretty hard. But you got to make God the top priority. And if you're not able to do that, then those thorns choke out the kind of harvest we can have. And here our spiritual enemy would be the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies. Here they show up. And what we need is the work of God. We need a new heart and God's spirit. In Ezekiel 36, these are the promises. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. And this is what we need, that we'd be careful to keep God. God's commandments. So in the three examples, the problem actually is varying forms of unbelief. It's not that there's anything wrong with the doctrine, all right, the Bible teaching. The problem is with the unbelief of the person. Now, when you think about the fourth response here in Luke chapter 8, Luke talks about this response as having a good and noble heart, a good and noble heart. In other words, you need to produce a crop. You need good soil. And we know this, right? You know, if the soil's alkali, if the soil's sandy, you know, we need good soil for a good crop. This is where we need to look at in our lives. But when that seed is planted in good soil, there's going to come back many more times what was planted. 160 or 30 times, there will be differences in fruitfulness, but there's going to be fruitfulness. And Jesus said in John 15, before he left this earth and leaving his disciples, he said, I chose you to go and bear fruit. And so every Christian is chosen to bear fruit. Now Psalm 92 adds something to that, how the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. There's a promise I'm hanging on to right now. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There's no wickedness in him. That's what we need to do. We need to bear fruit even in old age. And so we think about what the Spirit does, the fruit of the Spirit, a love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things ought to be obvious in our lives. So we don't know what the harvest will be like at the end. You know, it looks like a great year right now. There's a great crop, it seems to me, in the field. If God wills that, or we'll be safe from storm, and it could be a wonderful year. We think about that, how many years are not so good. And if I would show up at your farm and talk to you one of those years where it wasn't so good, I'd look at your crop and it's not doing very well out there, and I'd say, you know, what kind of farmer are you? You'd say, what? You know, it doesn't depend on me. It depends on the rain and the soil and all these other factors. Well, that's ministry too. And Jonathan Edwards said, we don't know what the harvest will be like at the end. Jonathan Edwards said, ministers must be faithful to their work and leave the event to God. Faithful to their work and leave the event to God. Isn't that like farming? You know, it's not about talking sense into people's heads. It's having them, by the power of the Spirit, hear, accept God's gospel. And this is true for all people. And Jesus told this parable so you would understand the secrets of his kingdom, or mysteries, if you will, the secrets, and evaluate your own heart and be willing to sow the seed of the word yourself. Let's pray. Father God, help us, encourage us as we share the word with others. We don't know how that's going to impact people's lives, how they're going to remember that. And we know that your word's powerful, and we know that the gospel has power to change lives. And so make us fruitful, we pray. Help us to respond well to the seed. In Jesus' name, amen.